Madness Fitness Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the All Business Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Roman Mendez, with my co-host, Joe Rich.
Woo woo!
We have an amazing, amazing interview lined up for you today. We have Harry Centineo. What's going on, Harry?
How's it going, guys?
Good, good. Thank you for coming here today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're someone definitely in the area that we definitely wanted to interview for quite some time. I mean, we always see each other at the gym and now sometimes, but, you know, I think you do have a really good story out there, especially the way you train and especially with your channel, Synergy Fitness, is it?
Yep, Synergy Training.
Training, sorry. It's you and your brother Frank?
Yep.
Yeah, tell us about
that. Yeah, he lives down in Baltimore. I'm up here in Buffalo, so.
Hey Frank!
It's a good way to kind of have us both on the channel, but not be able to, like, be together all the time.
Oh, why is he in Baltimore for school?
He's down there for work now. Okay. He's a pharmacist.
Oh, and where are you guys from?
We're originally from North Jersey.
Jersey.
So I'm just up here for school, going to Canisius.
Oh.
Yep.
Golden Griffs. Go Griffs.
Yep.
Class of 09 here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
What are you going to school for?
I'm in school right now for health and human performance with a concentration in strength and conditioning.
Oh.
So it's a lot of, like, physiology and nutrition classes.
Oh. I know Canisius College is really well known for having a really good solid program there.
Yeah, they have a really nice lab in there with BOD pod, VO2 max testing.
They didn't have that when I went there.
Yeah, they got a squat rack in the lab. It's pretty cool stuff.
Oh, hey, over at the Kessler Center?
No, it's in one of the academic buildings.
They didn't have that when I was there.
Yep. It's a pretty good setup they got.
Where do you train?
What was that?
Where do you train? Work out where?
I train at Steel Mill Gym down in South Buffalo. Pretty good deal, and they have really good equipment.
Oh, yeah. Steel Mill Gym is definitely one of those gyms that's known for being very hardcore in the area. There's many gyms out here, but that one's really well known for that.
Yep.
In that area. Do you ever train at Canisius?
I have once. And
how did you like it?
The equipment's not too great.
Yeah.
Definitely not. There were barely enough plates in the gym for me and my friend to deadlift next to each other, and the bars were slipping out of my hands.
Oh.
Definitely not the best place to train.
Yeah, when I prepped for my first few shows, it was, you know, many, many moons ago. That's where I trained in. You know, we didn't have a lot of equipment, but I guess you can get the job done.
Yeah, for bodybuilding, it's probably a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're more into powerlifting now, you said, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do a lot of squatting, benching, and deadlifting in my training. So some days I'll just do, like, accessory bodybuilding work, but most days it's a lot of volume for squat, bench, and deadlift, especially being, like, so far out of competition right now.
When are you competing next?
My next meet's June 5th in New Jersey.
Wow, back home?
Yeah.
Nice. How many meets have you done?
I did a meet in January. I think that was my fourth meet. So I did two meets back in 2013. And then I took 2014 off of powerlifting to compete in bodybuilding. And then I did another meet over the summer 2015. Like, after I pretty much recovered from my bodybuilding show, started to feel strong again. And then did another meet in January, and now I have my next one planned for June. So,
meets. Now, Harry, I've noticed over the past, like, 6 months, your strength has gone through the roof. I mean, I've been creeping on Harry for about, I'd say, about 2 years. I remember
creep.
For
yeah. creep.
No, we've been following each other. It's mutual.
It's mutual. We're mutual creepers, but
we have a little bromance brewing up here, guys.
That's the power of YouTube.
Yes. And speaking of YouTube, I can remember first watching one of your videos. You and your brother were dominating a whole gallon of ice cream together, and just I'm like, these guys have something.
That was the slow churn challenge.
Yeah. It was a great video, but, like, I've noticed over the past 6 months, your strength has just went through the friggin' roof. I mean, why? How? Let them know.
It's just been good training, being consistent with it. You know, especially with powerlifting, I feel if you have a really good, like, training program that's individualized for yourself, and you have someone looking at your technique, like, constantly taking video, that's another huge benefit of YouTube, is you video yourself in the gym, and you can look at yourself a little bit more objectively based on your technique. And if you're, like, grinding out reps that don't look too good, it's not going to be good for getting stronger. So you have to take a step back, work on your technique, really hone in on that, and then you can start progressing. And that's pretty much what's happened to me over the last 6 months. I really took a step back, focused on my technique, and then just got a lot stronger. Just with diet, and again, having proper training and doing everything right, increasing training frequency. So if you're squatting once a week, you're probably not going to get that much better, But if you increase that to 2, 3, 4 times a week, you're going to...
4 times a week.
You're going to start getting a lot more practice with the movement. If you think of powerlifting or bodybuilding, it's even just like having a mind-muscle connection for bodybuilding. If you think of it as like a sport, if you're a baseball player, how many times are you going to swing a bat a week? Once? No, you're going to do it probably every day. So if you think about powerlifting and any type of compound exercise movement like you would any other sport, then you should really focus on doing it a lot more often and think of it as practice and not just working out.
Wow, that's kind of where everything is going. You're right. Yeah. Now, you started your own online personal training business, correct?
Yeah, so my brother and I started a company called Synergy Training. So if you guys know my last name, Centineo, kind of took the first three letters of that and put it in the beginning of Synergy, which the reason we came up with the word Synergy is because, first of all, it's Frank and I, so it's two of us, and two is better than one. That's pretty much what Synergy and Synergistic refers to, saying that two things together have better combined benefit than just the one individually.
It was power in numbers is what you're trying to say?
Okay. So we got the two of us. If you want to work with us, you guys can you get both of us for the coaching. And then again, when it comes to training and nutrition, I'm sure you guys know from experience that you can train your ass off, but when it comes, if your diet's not good, you're not going to make as good progress as you could. And the same thing with your diet. If you're not exercising, you're not going to get as good progress. So take training and nutrition, put them together, and you get a better effect than doing one of them good on their own.
Now, where can people reach you, for the people that are interested in working with you or your brother, where can they reach you at?
You can go to synergytraining.com. So it's C-I-N, our last name, E-R-G-Y training.com. Find us there. Look us up on YouTube and everything. You'll find our videos if you just search it.
Now, Harry, I know you have a pretty big following on YouTube. Tell us about that. How did you get started in that realm?
Yeah, so we have like not that big. We have like 11 or 12,000 subscribers. We started the channel back at the end of 2012, and this was really about the time that Frank and I first discovered flexible dieting. So starting to realize that you can fit other foods into your diet instead of chicken, brown rice, and broccoli that we used to eat a long time ago back in our bro days. And it just kind of, it was a way for us to show what we learned to people and learn from other people, like following people like Joe and other YouTubers that were like practicing the flexible dieting lifestyle. And it just kind of helped us share ideas. And that's the main reason we got into YouTube in the first place. And then 2013, we just kind of documented what we were doing. We were pretty much bulking that entire year. And then we started dieting for our first round of bodybuilding shows in summer of 2014. So we started that diet at the end of 2013. And then documenting that. And that's really when our channel started to grow. People love watching bodybuilders prep for a show, seeing all the struggles that you go through. And there were definitely a lot of struggles during those videos. And then after that, Frank and I pretty much started focusing almost entirely on powerlifting. We still do a lot of bodybuilding training if we ever want to get back to that in the future, but probably not anytime soon.
Yeah. When was your last bodybuilding show?
It was, the last show I did was June of 2014.
What show was it?
It was a NGA show down in Central Jersey. Oh. Yeah, and we also did together, Frank and I did the OCB Jersey Natural. And I think Frank did a NANBF show in Pittsburgh in May.
Now, if you could maybe walk us through, maybe how did you get started overall, just training, you know? Take us back to the first time that you guys, either you or your brother, picked up a weight.
Yeah, so it was probably when I was 14, a freshman year in high school. My dad, he was training pretty much since high school. He played football in high school, and then he got into bodybuilding after that. He did a few like online contests that they have, probably through like bodybuilding.com or something, if whatever there was back in the 80s and 90s. And then he took me to the gym. He used to train at a Gold's Gym, so he took me there back when I was like 14. And I never really got into it just because you can't really force someone into fitness, which I'm sure you guys know.
No.
Trying to get people to start working out, they just don't want to do it. And then probably when I turned 16, so this was like 2008, I started actually getting interested myself in training. So a gym opened up like right by my house, which was really nice. I joined there and I was probably going a few times a week. I remember I was doing something similar to a lower push-pull program, which is probably a really good program to start out on, as opposed to just hitting each muscle group once a week. So I was really happy that I did that, but I was always like a chubby kid growing up, so my diet was probably not good. Just on days I trained, I probably just didn't eat as much just because I wanted to lose weight. So it probably wasn't ideal, but I still made good progress over the first, I guess, like 4 years of training before I realized that I should be on a better program and discovered flexible dieting.
Harry, I want to know what grinds your gears. What pisses you off the most in the gym? What aggravates you? Or just about the fitness industry in general?
One of the reasons that I joined Steel Mill when I came here.
Okay.
And one of the reasons why I stopped going to that gym by my house. Just because there's so many people that don't know what they're doing, wasting your time and wasting their time at the gym. Especially at most gyms where there aren't that many squat racks. People are doing stupid stuff in there, and being someone who wants to go in there and squat heavy, it's just you have to wait for them to finish doing whatever they're doing, which is usually just a waste of time. So that's why I like going to Steel Mill, because usually people in the squat rack are getting good work in, and if they're not, then they're not going to be in there, which is nice. So I never really have to wait there. And I mean, I don't care what people do at the gym as long as it doesn't bother me. It doesn't make me have to wait any extra time for any equipment.
I see. What do you do for your teeth? I'm looking at them, and they are so white.
I never had braces.
Such a bromance.
No, wow. I'm serious. Do you drink coffee? I mean,
I do drink coffee. Yeah, and I'm that surprised. White? Yeah.
I mean, they're just.
I've used white strips a little in the past.
Okay,
but
ladies and gentlemen, white strips.
I didn't really like the way they felt on my teeth.
Okay.
So I don't use them as much anymore.
Okay. Now, as far as let's go, what's one of the most embarrassing things that's happened to you over the past, you know, how many years? 5 years.
In the gym?
In the gym or outside the gym, fitness related or non-fitness related?
No, I mean, nothing that I can really look back to and be like,
did you
wow.
ever throw up or maybe possibly shit your pants deadlifting?
No.
No?
Probably let out some farts here and there.
Oh, some farts?
Yeah, but nothing crazy. Never, okay. Definitely never shit myself.
That's always a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do that either, which is probably a good thing.
I was pulling, I'm not strong by any stretch of the imagination, but I was pulling this must have been about 2 years ago, and I really thought I sharted. Yeah. I had to go, I checked the bathroom.
That's rough, yeah. Especially before a deadlift workout, if you're wearing a belt,
yes.
You got to wait some time before you eat.
Where were you 2 or 3 years ago? I needed you, Harry.
I usually train fasted if I train in the morning, which is like most days. And
okay,
I feel a lot better in the stomach.
So you train now, let's touch on that. So you train faster.
Yeah, I'll usually.
Why is that?
I just feel better. Okay. If I eat like too much food, I start to feel like a little sluggish. Could just be the effect of like digestion, you know, because your gut needs blood, obviously, to digest food. So it doesn't have as much blood to shuttle to your skeletal muscles. And that's one of the reasons why I feel a lot better, I think. I mean, sometimes if I eat before, like, it doesn't bother me that much, but especially if I'm doing, like, a heavy squat or deadlift workout and I'm going to be wearing a belt, it kind of helps to have my stomach a little bit more empty for that.
So do you backload heavy the night before or anything? If, like, let's say there's a... No, it's just you.
Yeah, no.
Just regular diet.
Yeah, by backloading, what Joe means is he's having most of his carbs later in the day as opposed to front loading, mm-hmm. where you have your carbs early in the morning.
Yeah, no.
There's some people out there who might not know what backloading is.
Being heavier at this point in my fitness career, I guess you could say, it kind of, nutrient timing doesn't matter that much to me. So I could go like probably 12 hours without eating and still feel good. Whereas when I was a lot leaner, if I didn't eat for a while, I would just be dragging, feeling like crap. My mood would be crap. Be treating everyone like shit around me, which I'm sure you guys know that feeling when you get really lean.
Yes.
So being a little heavy, like, I've been 200 pounds pretty much since the beginning of high school when I said like I was a little bit fatter then. And this is like my natural body weight. This is where I feel best. Right now I'm like 205 and I just feel so much better in and out of the gym.
Now you see, do you have something?
What was your competition weight?
My lowest weigh-in I think was 163 and my stage weight was 165.
Now you said you treated people like shit.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I'm sure you guys know that feeling.
I do know the feeling. That's the one thing and the only thing that I hate about contest prep. Is you kind of push people off or maybe push them away or maybe you're very short with them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a selfish sport.
Oh, God.
You know, you focus entirely on yourself. You're always looking in the mirror, you know.
Did you get depressed afterwards a little bit after the show? Because your mind is so focused on one thing and then...
You have no more goal.
You have no more
goal. I think, like, really getting back into powerlifting after that was a big help.
Okay.
And obviously, I didn't rebound that bad. Like, it took probably, like, 6 months for me to gain back those 30 or 40 pounds. But having... constantly getting stronger and knowing that the food I was eating was, like, helping me get stronger, that was a big, like, a big psychological benefit to me.
If you could, I know you mentioned the struggle while prepping. And this is something I actually had a conversation with one of my clients yesterday. Mm. Not going to mention her name, but she knows who she is. But, you know, it's I think especially this happens a lot with competitors when you're close to the show and you are lean. Mm. One day you look in the mirror and you're thinking, what am I doing? I'm so overweight. I'm not going to be ready. By lunch, you're like, wow, look at how lean I am. By dinner, again, you're saying, I'm not going to be ready. What am I doing? I'm not going to compete. And it's a constant cycle every single day. Did you go through that when you were prepping?
Yeah, definitely. And it's there's really nothing you could do about it. You're competing in any physique sport is going to cause some sort of body dysmorphia, I think. But it's in a good way sometimes because you can be a little bit more objective with yourself looking in the mirror. But also, you always know that you can be better. And especially when you're dieting hard, you get really flat and it kind of masks how you really look. So once you fill out, you're going to look 10 times better, really, and get a lot more vascular. Especially when you're in the gym, you're not getting a pump and you don't feel good physically and it doesn't help your psychological state. But again, if you kind of look at the process a little bit more of that you're doing it right and this is what's supposed to happen at this point, because you're going to be flat if you're losing weight and you're getting really lean. So you have to understand that it's all part of the process and that it'll all pay off in the end.
I like that. I like that a lot. Now, Harry, I creep on you. Who do you creep on in either the YouTube world or like the this is overall fitness industry? Is there anyone that you idolize or model yourself after?
I think that we should take this a little bit in like steps because when I first got into the YouTube fitness community and stuff, this was probably like the beginning of 2012.
Okay.
Maybe 2011. I looked up to a lot of the guys who are like preaching flexible dieting. So obviously guys like Matt Ogus who looked
insane. Versus Chris Jones. Was that the versus Chris Jones era?
Yeah, that was like 2013.
Oh yeah, let's go. Okay.
Have you seen Matt Ogus lately though?
That dude looks insane. Stupid. That's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been following him for probably as long as you have, like 2011, 2012. Yes. Matty Fusaro comes to mind, one of the people who puts out really great informative videos, puts out vlogs, and he's very relatable to someone else in the industry and someone I really like to follow. Christian Guzman was one of the guys I always looked up to. He was a cool kid. I met him a few times. I think I met like all these guys a few times at expos and stuff. And that was pretty much, like Chris Jones, Vince G.
What about
original Physiques of Greatness?
The Swole Nerd, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was a good channel back in the day.
It was.
Campbell, I got to give him a shout out. He's one of the best guys on YouTube, I think.
What about the online coach? You like him?
Yeah, he's good. He's a little bit harder to relate to just because he looks insane all the time.
He looks stupid, 24-7, 365. Yep. Always coach, shredded. Bravo.
And so full, too.
Yes.
He never, even when he's dieting, he never looks flat.
Yes, correct. Okay, so those are... Go ahead.
Now, since I've transitioned a lot more into powerlifting, Brandon Campbell still comes to mind because he does flexible dieting when he's, I don't know if he tracks all the time, but when he's like losing weight, he'll use flexible dieting and he's always been big on powerlifting. Follow guys like Garrett Blevins and Ben Rice. They just come to mind because of Brandon. They're doing like a coaching thing together. And Bryce Lewis, you know, like all those guys, Lane Norton.
Bryce Lewis strong. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Bryce just set a few world records at the Arnold. Lane Norton, he's also like the head of flexible dieting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Lane.
Yeah. And he's also a big name in powerlifting. I follow a lot of the drug free guys, so
okay.
I don't really know too much about the other federations, but especially in like the USAPL and IPF, I pretty much follow everyone that competes there.
Now, Harry, where do you want to take YouTube or this whole fitness thing? Do you have any goals? Obviously, we all have goals, but what are some of your goals? Where do you want to go with this?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of like social media and being online, I really like the aspect of online coaching. you can work with anyone across the country, across the world. Right now I have a client that's from Australia.
Wow.
So it's cool to be able to work with people like that and share your knowledge. And a lot of my clients have seen me on YouTube and stuff, so it's makes it a little bit more relatable for them, I feel. And we Skype at least like once, sometimes multiple times. And it's just cool to have that. But it's also better, I think, than in-person coaching for some people. Because if they have a good foundation and they know how to train, then it's good to have a program, because then they don't have to come to the gym at a certain time to meet you there. And they could just do all their training on their own time.
Now, are most of your clients competitors, or do you have a lot of non-competitors as well? Yeah,
mostly non-competitors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I have one or two powerlifting competitors, no physique competitors at the moment, but I have worked with a few of them in the past.
Interesting. What other hobbies do you have, Harry?
I mean, I'm in school, full-time student. I really like learning, like reading, and I like cooking. Do a lot of cooking when I can.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
What's your favorite book?
I read textbooks.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm one of those. And
what
I know.
What are you going to school? Did we touch on what you're going to school for?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, then edit that. We don't need to know that again.
No, we got to keep it on. No filter.
Keeping it 100% here.
Yeah. So, Harry, so you made the transition from Jersey to New York. To Buffalo here.
Mm-hmm.
The first question is, how much more do you have left of school? And the second question is, what do you see yourself after that? Do you want to stay in Buffalo? Do you see yourself going back home to Jersey?
Yeah, so I should be done with this program in May. So right now I'm working on my thesis. So I'm doing research, having people in lab, collecting data, and hopefully I'll be finished with all that in May and graduate in the spring. And yeah, then I'll probably move back home, get a job as a strength and conditioning coach, hopefully maybe do some like interning, because for the program that I'm in, I could have either done a thesis or an internship. So I decided to do the thesis in case I want to go for my PhD, which might be an option in the future. And then, so I skipped that on the internship. So I might want to do something along those lines over the summer when I move back home. And then hopefully work either at the high school or collegiate level for strength and conditioning. See how far I can get with that. And again, fallback plan would be to go get my PhD if I can get into a program.
So tell us a little bit more about your thesis.
Yeah, so what we're investigating, I'm like the chief investigator for that, so I did all of the research beforehand. And what we're investigating is differences in anxiety, so it's more like sports psychology, the differences in anxiety among individual sport and team sport athletes. So what I really want to see is if there's like a predisposition to choose an individual sport over a team sport. So if you think about being bodybuilders or powerlifters, or any like being a marathon runner, everything that you do is for yourself. And when you compete, you're just competing as an individual. Whereas like in baseball or basketball, you're competing with a team. And if you mess up, the whole team will fall because of you. Whereas for an individual sport, it's a little bit different. So it'd be cool to see if there are differences in like general state anxiety and competitive state anxiety based on how you are as an individual. Yeah.
Another question. I'm not sure if you can answer this, but how do you guys track that actually?
What right now, yeah, we have two. There are different like researched questionnaires that can measure anxiety pretty well based on how someone is in general, and that's pretty much what we're using to measure it. We're also doing VO2 max testing and body composition testing in the BOD pod.
Oh.
Yeah. They have really good equipment.
Harry, I'm going to say two things, and I want you to pick the one you like the best, okay?
Sounds good, Joe.
Powerlifting, bodybuilding.
Ooh.
Powerlifting.
Oh.
Target or Walmart?
Target. I hate Walmart.
Why?
I don't know. You go in there for 5 minutes, pick something up, you wait 20 minutes in line.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Pizza or donuts?
Pizza.
Brazzers or Naughty America?
Oh.
That's a tough one. Whatever's on Pornhub, I guess.
Pornhub it is. That's all I had for the whole thing.
Off the top of your head, too.
Yeah.
How do we go from his thesis to Pornhub?
That's the way my mind thinks, man. I don't know what to tell you.
So what do you guys have coming up in the future? Any shows that you got planning
or expos? Oh, he's interviewing us now.
I know you guys. I went to the DFAC Fall Fest that you guys had in Buffalo, and you guys mentioned something coming up in the fall.
Yeah, we do. It's first we have our spring show. It's a DFAC Buffalo Natural Springs Fest on April 9th.
That's like 4 weeks.
4 weeks out. So today is March 13th, so we are 4 weeks out. But we are also planning, and this is going to be huge, especially here in the area of Western New York and New York in general. Well, we're going to have our show, the DFAC Buffalo Natural Fall Fest. And I guess since you're putting us on the spot, I guess we will announce it now that we are going to be having pro men bodybuilding and pro figure.
Cool.
So by the time this video gets released, we will make the announcement on Facebook and let everyone know.
Nice.
But we're also going to be hosting, Adam Furchin is going to be hosting the USPA New York State and Open Powerlifting Championships.
Okay.
We're also going to be hosting, Mark Solomon is going to be hosting the USA New York State and Open Olympic Lifting Championships. We also have some, Mikey Tillis is also going to be hosting a Jiu-Jitsu Championship, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championships.
Wow.
And then Pat Hall, he was on the show American Ninja Warrior, a good friend of ours. He's also going to be hosting the New York State New York State Ninja Warrior. So like Buffalo Ninja Warrior, American That's Ninja awesome. Warrior, but here.
Yeah.
That's a huge fitness expo.
Oh, fitness expo. Oh, really? When and where? I mean,
and that's going to be September 10th at the Buffalo Convention Center.
Nice.
So this year. And again, we are going to be releasing more info on that. We have some amazing sponsors backing us up, bodybuilding.com, Optimate Nutrition, nice. Dinosaur Nutrition, WTF Chef, you name it. I mean, a lot of big, big companies are coming behind us. And and this week coming up, we should be releasing all the information. So by the time this video comes out, more people should know about that. And cool. It's going to be pretty cool event to have here in the area.
Yeah, I might have to come back up for that.
Sweet. Hey, Harry, let's go down the road. Let's say, you're dead. You die. All right. What's the one thing?
Hopefully that's a long ways down
the road. It's a long ways, but what's one thing you want to leave on this earth? What's one thing that you want to kind of just like, wow, I was Harry, this is my brother Frank, and we left this legacy. What's the one thing you want to leave behind for everybody?
Yeah, so in my undergrad, I guess we can go back a little bit further.
Okay.
I studied molecular biology with the hopes of going to med school. Ooh. So after my junior year, my junior year was pretty much when I got really into kind of fitness, flexible dieting, getting into a lot more nutrition and training. And I realized that there are many different ways to improve someone's health than being a doctor, which was pretty much my goal as my dream to become a doctor. So if anything that I can kind of share with people over the course of my life is how to improve your health and be healthy and not only live longer, but have a greater quality of life in the long term.
That's awesome.
And that's what training's all about. And
I agree.
I think staying drug-free is huge when it comes to long-term health.
Drug free.
Absolutely.
Say no to drugs.
All drugs.
All drugs. Drugs are bad.
Now, Harry, you mentioned your background. You said in biology? Yeah. What type of biology was it?
Molecular biology.
Romer loves this shit. Yeah. You could have just an interview with him talking about the fifth dimension and nuclear biology and NASA and all this other shit.
I love
it. It's a cool field of study.
I am obsessed with molecular biology and also astrophysics and all that. I mean, I don't know much about physics, but
physics is cool.
Yeah.
No, I took a few classes in college, but definitely not to the level.
I honestly wish I would have taken classes in college. I would have probably failed them, but...
Yeah, hey, you got Canisius right around the corner.
Yeah, it's never too late, Romer. You can always go back
to school. Take some classes.
On physics, I think I'll pass for now. I think I'll stick to my YouTube videos and looking at lectures there.
Yeah.
But if you had to tell us... Do you think that having that background helped you when it comes to your online coaching and understanding how the human body works?
Yeah.
How can you relate the two?
Yeah, because I took a few physiology classes and it really helps. I took even psychology classes and it's just so important to understand the body as a whole as opposed to looking at individual parts of it. Like you could see how someone responds to different nutrition programming, different macros, higher fat, lower fat, higher carb, and kind of have a better understanding of the hormonal reaction, because I took a lot of those type of classes in college. Frank, being a pharmacist, took a lot more extensive medical anatomy and physiology classes. So having that background has really kind of helped us understand a lot more of the physiology behind nutrition and training programming.
You mentioned earlier you wanted to be a doctor, and this maybe is a question, something I have in mind. I know it's been a subject that's been debated back and forth. I know Lane has talked about it before, Lane Norton is. Mm-hmm. And it's, why do you think that so many, I'll say, just doctors are so misinformed when it comes to just nutrition in general? I can tell you from my personal experience, when I after Canisius, when I moved back to New York and I was working on Wall Street there for a few years, I had to switch doctors because I have a doctor here, and I went to it was just a general checkup, and my doctor, he did ask me what supplements do you take. I just said, well, I just take a normal multivitamin, you know, whey, and I mentioned, you know, creatine monohydrate. And he went on a tangent on how creatine causes cancer.
There was just a study published that said that creatine might have anti-carcinogenic effects.
Interesting.
So it's exact opposite of what your doctor said. This is new research. So anti-carcinogenic just means kind of protects you from cancer. And it's just pretty interesting to see how even research and science, different data comes out all the time that kind of suggests the opposite of what's currently believed. So did you guys see all the, on the news, everything about like Splenda causing cancer?
Correct. Yes, yes.
Yeah, so a lot of those studies, they're done on rats, and the doses that they're giving, the doses of sucralose, I know with aspartame in the past, they give these insane doses to rats, which would be the equivalent of like a human drinking 2-liter bottles of soda in a day, and no one's gonna consume that much artificial sweetener.
That's a Master Splinter shit right there.
Oh. Yeah.
And as you mentioned, the Splenda and the Diet Coke or Diet Soda.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having this debate with a few guys at work where they say that, you know, obviously they don't know much, but they're claiming that Diet Coke kills you, Diet Coke gives you cancer. Now, how does this
What doesn't these days?
Yeah. How did this all come about? I mean, from your experience and knowledge in the industry, you know, where do people get that Diet Coke gives you cancer?
Yeah, so a lot of the research is done on rodents, and rodents are a lot smaller than humans. I don't know if you guys know that. So an average rat maybe weighs a few ounces.
Well, I think it depends where the rat is.
Yeah, true.
Have you seen a rat in New York City? They look like humans.
Yeah, they might be a little bit bigger.
Master Splinter.
But the doses that the researchers are exposing the rats to is just so much different than what a human would have. And so, I mean, if you practice moderation with anything, but even with diet soda, I mean, I'm sure that there are days where you drink like a 2-liter a day, especially during dieting.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think that there's any negative effects of that. And, I mean, as long as you don't do it every day and have some sort of balance in your life, which you should with everything, then there's really nothing to worry about.
So you mentioned earlier the amount of the artificial sweetener that they were giving to the rats. What would that equate to in Diet Coke again?
Yeah, so I mean, I'd have to look at the exact studies. I'm sure that there are many of them, and there are some review articles on it. But most of the time, it's equivalent to just an insane amount. Like I said, like I think it said like 102 liters of diet soda a day for a person. I don't even think you could fit that much liquid in your body in a day.
Like someone would drown on liquid before you died from that.
So every chemical, including water, has a certain toxicity level that if you have too much of it, it'll kill you. So, I mean, if you drink too much water, it's lethal.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's the same goes for artificial sweeteners and pretty much everything. If you consume an excessive amount of it, it's probably not a good thing.
Oh.
But if you keep it a little bit more moderate, probably good.
Because even back then, it was my one appointment, because I little to say that I never went back to him again after that. But we walked into this guy's office, and he had all these different diplomas from different universities and doctorates. Mm-hmm. And he was there sitting telling me that creatine gives you cancer. Essentially, he was equating creatine to ephedra. And he was saying that this is why people are dying, because they're taking creatine.
Yeah.
And at the time, I mean, I obviously still don't know. I wouldn't say I know more than him about science, or obviously I know I'm not a doctor. But I just thought that, how are you a doctor? And you're thinking in such a way, like, how, I didn't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of doctors, need to have a lot of knowledge about a lot of different fields. So, I mean, when you're trying to force that much information into your brain, you can't really be experts at any of them. So, especially when it comes to nutrition, I mean, even you look at people like Dr. Oz, it's like, yeah, he gives good nutrition advice for people in general trying to lose weight. I mean, I'm sure like some of the things he recommends are just ridiculous, but most of the recommendations that most doctors give for people to lose weight is just cut out foods, because ultimately that's going to cut out calories. And while it's not the best thing for diet adherence, because when you tell someone they can't eat something, they're going to eat it once and then just eat a ton of it. And it's not a good way to kind of practice a lifestyle change. But when it comes to flexible dieting, you guys know you can fit any food in as long as it stays within your caloric requirement. And I mean, most doctors, when they're trying to get people to lose weight, they just get them to cut out foods or something like that just to cut calories. And usually it works in the short term, but they can't adhere to it for the rest of their life.
Moderation, baby.
Yep.
Moderation. So, you, Harry, you said your hormone levels. Now talk about 2 weeks out, hard-ons, they just, like, go away. I mean, did that happen to you?
He just went there.
Yeah.
I had to go there.
I think it happens to everyone.
That's I don't like that
at
all.
Mean, you're putting your body into starvation mode.
Yeah. So people, for people that want to compete, they expect you're not getting chubby.
Well, yeah.
You want to say chubbies? You're not getting that stuff to at least 2 weeks out.
Yeah.
If you're shredded.
Yeah. I mean, I think most people can relate to that. Most people that have competed. But the thing is, a lot of people see bodybuilding as like the epitome of being like healthy. All the dudes on stage, you are not healthy.
No.
Being that lean, you are not feeling good. You're looking good, but you don't look healthy. Being that lean isn't natural for anyone.
So these people that like follow these guys on Instagram and yourself on YouTube, this a lot of this fitness thing is an illusion. You might look awesome.
Yeah.
But you're really, like you said, you're very...
Yeah, yeah, that was something I really tried to highlight during my like posts on Instagram during that time.
You did. I remember one of your videos, you were just... Yeah. You were on a beach. I think it was after your show, and you were just... You rambled, and that was one of your best videos.
Yeah.
I don't know the title
of it.
Yeah,
it was the last one of my Contest Pro series.
For you guys that don't know Harry, go to his channel and just watch that video. It was awesome, is what I can say. It'll open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't really see that. There are some videos out there that people have posted on YouTube and, like, just randomly about the real struggles of contest prep. And that was really what I tried to highlight in my video series. And my brother did, too. It's not always pretty, and most of the time it's not pretty at all.
And I think that's why you're doing so well, is because you and your brother Frank are real. Like there's no you know, beating around the bush. You guys say what you feel, and you do what you like, and you guys are just real people.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it's necessary to have competed to coach someone to a competition, but it definitely helps understanding the psychological aspects of it.
I agree.
But
100%.
Everyone's different. My brother is like 180, or he was like 170, 180 pounds like his whole life before he started lifting, like in his adult life. And so him dieting down to 170 wasn't as bad as me dieting from 200 to 160.
Different macros, I take it, correct?
Yeah, different macros.
Totally different.
Just being that far away from where I feel most comfortable, it was my entire mind changed. You know, like I didn't even feel like myself for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll get you every time. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have a significant other, too.
Yeah.
Did you at the time? Or do you?
Yeah, I did at the time, yeah.
Okay.
Now you're single.
Yeah, it was tough, yeah. Yeah,
there you single. Go, ladies.
How are you single? Ladies, hit up the hairy man.
Yep. Single and ready to mingle.
Yep.
Or apparently Joe has a little bromance with him here. So.
Yeah, you never know.
I do, you never know.
I'm a little jelly here. Should I bring you your final rose, like in The Bachelor?
You're out.
Gentlemen, Joe, it's the final rose tonight. Are you ready? it's a Bachelor reference.
All right, this thing's getting weird. He's feeling uncomfortable.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, he's fine. I'm feeling weird.
I'm just here having fun.
So is there any last thing here you want to tell the people out there that see this interview?
Don't take anything too seriously. I think that's a good place to start. just if you're trying to get into fitness or if you've been in it for a while and you want to make some changes to your diet, to your training, just take everything slow. There's no need, unless you're going to be winning gold medals in the Olympics or in international competitions, there's no need to be aggressive with anything, with your diet, with your training. Just take things slow, stay healthy. It's a big thing in powerlifting too, is people will, like I've mentioned earlier, increasing frequency is huge, increasing volume. But if it gets to the point where you're injuring yourself, it's not going to be good for long-term success and long-term health.
Another plug, Harry. Where can these people reach you?
Yeah, so if you just look up on Google Synergy Training.
The prospects.
Synergy Training. You can find us on YouTube. You can find our website. It's just synergytraining.com. And find me on Instagram. It's at Harry Centineo. And
we'll have links to all his information in our description box.
Yeah, so if you guys want to follow me or reach out to me, send me an email or something, feel free.
Yo, guys, Harry, thank you today for an amazing interview.
Thanks for having me.
We
really
definitely
want to
have you back.
Time.
I think we all had a good time.
I had a great time.
We should make it like a weekly thing.
Huh? Yeah. I'm in the area.
Bring Frank over here.
Yeah, next time he makes his way up to Buffalo.
Sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make it a date.
Sounds good.
Date?
A date.
Thanks, Harry.
No problem, guys.
Harry, thank you again. And
no problem.
There you go, guys. Roman Mendez and Joe Rich, All Business Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe. We have more exciting guests coming on the next few weeks. Please subscribe, guys. Thank you.
Take care, guys.